Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 869 in Isleta Pueblo, I'm Tara Gatewood. Stress is a normal part of everyday life, but too much stress over time can cause health problems. The threat of the COVID-19 pandemic generates stress all on its own. But for many people whose livelihoods are affected, there's additional financial pressure. Experts recommend things like exercise, healthy eating, guided meditation, and traditional teachings to cope. We'll find out ways people are finding time for stress management right after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Pasquayaki tribe in southern Arizona has announced a $900,000 project for a water pipeline to the reservation southwest of Tucson. Emma Gibson with Arizona Public Media reports officials say it will increase the tribe's water security.
The construction of the water line from the Central Arizona Project canal system will bring in non-potable water to irrigate the tribe's wellness center and some recreational areas, freeing up to 50 acre feet of drinking water. Pasquayaki Chairman Peter Yucopicio says he and the tribal council are grateful for the grant.
We started working years back on trying to figure out our water needs, our water issues, our water problems. There was always fear because of the drought contingency plan and you have water available or not available.
Arizona Congressman Greg Stanton says the tribe is expected to exceed its water allotment from the city of Tucson in a few years as its housing demand increases. For National Native News, I'm Emma Gibson.
The Minnesota Court of Appeals Tuesday denied a request by the Red Lake and White Earth bands to shut down the Enbridge Line 3 replacement project in Minnesota, the Associated Press reports. The tribes are opposing the pipeline, saying it threatens water, the environment, and cultural way of life. The project is replacing old existing pipe in North Dakota, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. Construction on the Minnesota segment began in December. There are also other legal challenges. Meanwhile, indigenous groups and their allies have been opposing the project at construction sites in northern Minnesota. An opposition camp has also been set up. KBJR reports three arrests were made this week in Carlton County after someone sat on a pipe for several hours to halt construction. President Biden signed a major FEMA disaster declaration for the Navajo Nation Tuesday, which tribal leaders say will provide more federal resources and release funds for reimbursement of emergency dollars the tribe used to address COVID-19. The Navajo Nation declared a public health emergency in March 2020, which remains in effect. A request was made to the White House for the major disaster declaration. The assistance comes as the tribe continues its vaccination plan. As of Tuesday, the Navajo Area IHS reported the Navajo Nation has vaccinated more than 53,000 people. Dr. Loretta Christensen, Navajo Area Indian Health Service Chief Medical Officer, said in a virtual town hall Tuesday, Navajo citizens who are living away from their home communities can also get the vaccine.
We also are vaccinating anyone who comes home. So if you are off the reservation at school or work or any other activities that have taken you away from home, we will definitely care for you when you go to your home of record hospital where your chart is. We will make sure you get vaccinated. We only get a certain amount of vaccine every week, and we try to give the maximal amount that we can each week at each facility.
The tribe has a goal to administer at least 100,000 doses to Navajo people by the end of the month. The Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma recently administered its 10,000th dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. The tribe's first phase included healthcare workers, Cherokee language speakers, and elders. According to the Cherokee Nation, nearly 60% of the tribe's allotted COVID-19 vaccines went to first language speakers, national treasures, and elders since the first doses arrived in December. The tribe's next phase includes teachers, childcare workers, food distribution program employees, and citizens 55 and older. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Next. National Native News is produced by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by the Center for Indigenous Cancer Research at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center, dedicated to cancer research, medicine, and cancer care for Indigenous population. A no-charge online risk assessment tool is available at roswellpark.org/assessme. If you're a Native American expanding or starting a business, the Indian Loan Guarantee and Insurance Program supports your lender so your lender can make the business loan you need. Info by emailing dci@bia.gov. The Office of Indian Energy and Economic Development supports this program.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, joining you live from my homelands of Shirwitui via Skype. There's a lot to be stressed out about these days. The pandemic is far from over. The economy is struggling, and many feel there are few places to turn for relief. Over time, unchecked stress can put people at risk for health problems, like persistent headaches, depression, and even heart disease. Just the threat of COVID-19 to yourself and your loved ones is enough to worry about, but many are also out of a job or have a business that's on the line. Some parents are overwhelmed trying to help their kids get through their school day at home. These are all on top of the regular daily pressures that people deal with. Whatever stresses you out, you're not alone, and we might have some solutions for dealing with it today, and we've got experts on the show to offer some techniques for managing stress and some guidance on how to incorporate whatever stress management methods you're comfortable with into your routine. And we'd like to hear from you, and how do you manage your stress? Do you use traditional practices to manage it? Call us and share. The number to join is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And today we are going to start off in Madras, Oregon. With us today is Dr. Shiloh Tippett. She is a clinical psychologist at the St. Charles Healthcare System, and she is Wasco and Tlingit. Dr. Tippett, thank you for joining us for another Native America Calling. Welcome.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
And so, Dr. Tippett, stress, boy, it is sure something that we can all relate to. And let's just do a little bit of defining. How do you define stress and the different types?
Sure. Yeah, I would say right now, stress is at an all-time high for many people, given the pandemic and everything, like you mentioned, to the intro of the show. So stress is a biological response. People tend to throw the term around a lot, you know, like, oh, I'm stressing out. This is stressing me out. I need coffee. I'm stressed. But it's really a biological response. For example, a lot of us have watches that tell us our blood pressure right now. As I was sitting here listening to the news leading up to this, and there was water, you know, the water crisis in Native country, and you talked about the pandemic and vaccines, and a lot of people are wondering, are there enough vaccines for our elders and for our vulnerable? My blood pressure went up to 91. It's usually at 68. So that's a stress response. It's pretty minor, but it's a stress response. The other things that happen when we have a stress response are things like increased adrenaline and cortisol and stress hormones in our body. We might sweat, skin gets a little bit red or flushed. Our blood pressure, like I said, goes up. We might have heart palpitations or tachycardia. So it's really a biological response. So one stressor, let's say someone is dealing with COVID, or they have a family member dealing with that, that may or may not be as stressful to one person as it is the next, because it depends on kind of where they are in their stress response, in their capacity to manage stress, and basically their biology. So that's the gist of stress, is really a biological response, and it's different for different people. What will cause a stress response is different for different people.
And so when you say stress hormones, are there effects of having high rates of it in your body, and what does that do long term?
Definitely. We see it all the time, not only in our Native communities, but in outside communities. Everyone has stress. It's just different types of stress. And like I said, different capacity, which we can talk about later. But everyone has stress, and the longer it goes on, so chronic stressing situations that make you have that biological response can cause all kinds of issues. It can cause heart attacks at the extreme. We see a lot of women who don't know that they are having such stress because we're pretty good at dealing with it, and then they end up in the ER or in the hospital because they're having heart issues or cardiac issues because of stress. We also see people who have existing chronic health conditions, say diabetes, gets much worse when there's stress. There's research that shows people who are recovering from cancer, if they're able to reduce the stress in their environment and increase the good, their healing happens much quicker than if they have a lot of stress in their life. We also see chronic pain. So pain issues when you're under stress are, you know, tenfold. They're so much worse because when we're stressed, our body is not functioning how it should. It's filling us with stress hormones, which feel toxic after a while if we don't actually need them. And it just creates this overall kind of unhealthy, not a good environment in our body that creates a problem for healing. So there's so many things, migraines, or even just severe headaches, digestive issues, insomnia, and all of those things that stress makes worse can cascade into other lasting conditions.
And so, Dr. Tippett, we just put a load on people, probably causing more stress, reminding them of all these different things. Let's take a moment to de-stress. What's one thing you can do, just even where a person is sitting right now, to just kind of put a pause on all that, bring things down? Any suggestions?
Absolutely. So this is important. Once you start the stress response, so let's say we've stressed people out. The truth is, it's probably what they were already stressed before. It just kind of tipped it over. So let's say people are stressed and their stress hormones have been activated in the body. They're going to be there for about 12 hours. You cannot make them go away. It's just the way the body has to kind of let the stress hormones play out. One thing you can do is to activate what we call the vitality hormone, which is DHEA in the body. There are a number of ways that you can do that. One is by stimulating the vagus nerve in the body. Here is a very quick way that we can do that. So it's important to remember, once you have stress, the stress hormones are released. You can't really make that stop. You can make the reaction stop, the hormones are there. But by adding something good, you can stimulate a response in your body that will help calm you down. So will you do that with me right now, you and all the listeners?
Let's do it.
Okay. So I want everyone, if you can, if you're in a place where you can do this, plug your right nostril. So plug the right side of your nose. And put one hand, so one is on your nose and one is on your belly, kind of by your belly button, right below it, and you're going to breathe in and out of your left nostril. It's going to feel silly, but what I want you to do, the hand that's on your belly needs to be exaggerated. So when you need to really fill the belly and let it come back down, breathing only in and out of your left nostril, if you're able to do that. So we can do that right now. So plug the right nostril and then in and out of the left for 3 breaths. If you do that and you make sure that you're filling that lower belly, if you're able to do that for about 3 minutes, even less is fine. 3 is pretty great. What you've effectively done is you activated a nerve in your body that tells your nervous system to calm down, kind of puts on the brakes, saying, hey, we don't need to be so upset and stressed. Let's just calm down. So it's an excellent way to make your biology work for you during times of stress.
And you know something, just sitting there and doing this with you, it's also helping you kind of take control of your moment, of your situation. And a lot of times these stresses are coming because we feel like we are totally losing control. Anything more you want to add on that?
I think that's an excellent point, that we often don't have control over the things that are stressing us out. We don't have control over other people's actions, over the pandemic, the weather, the finances, but we do have control over how we direct our body to respond. That includes our thinking patterns, our breathing, how we care for our body. Usually when people are stressed, they eat and sleep differently. We do have control over that. And so your point is excellent, that if we can focus on the things in our control, we can effectively change the way we respond to stress.
And what about outlooks or just remembering, you know, what is good? A lot of times we end our day thinking of everything that we didn't get to do. What happens when we start thinking of all the things we did do or one thing we did well today, as opposed to just kind of beating ourselves down?
Yeah, there's plenty of research that looks at the effectiveness of gratitude. So if we end and begin our day with gratitude, even just writing down three things or, you know, texting them to a friend, that can help us kind of stabilize the stress response. There are, though, some situations where it's really hard to do that. Sometimes people have so much that they're dealing with that it's hard to remember the gratitude or the good things, or, hey, what are the small victories is what I call it. And so for the people who can't do that because of circumstances or depression, being in the present moment is very effective at just kind of bringing us down, calming our bodies, and helping us feel like we have stable ground. So either gratitude, being thankful for the good things in our lives, training our mind to see the good, and also just very present-focused thinking right here in the current moment, what's going okay right now, those can help to bring us some calm.
And maybe you'll use this break to think about some of those things, maybe even try that breathing exercise again. And in some places, they'll be able to hear some of the music during the break. We'll be back. We're talking about stress management today. We want to hear from you, too. Dial in 1-800-996-2848 is the number to join us.
The Cherokee Nation is celebrating 200 years of their written language. The Cherokee Syllabary helped forge the first native language newspaper and continues to help keep the language going strong. We'll hear the history and continued importance of the Cherokee Syllabary on the next Native America Calling.
If you're hurting in your relationship and want to talk, Strongheart's Native Helpline is a confidential and anonymous domestic violence helpline for Native Americans available at 1-844-762-8483 or connect with a live advocate by using the Chat Now button at strongheartshelpline.org. Advocates offer support and referrals for resources daily, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time. This program supported by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo, and we are talking about stress management today. Take a deep breath. Does that technique work for you? Maybe you did that exercise during the break and you feel a little different. You can call in and tell us about it. Or maybe you have found something else that helps you manage your stress and you want to share with others how it feels, how you go about it. The number to join us is 1-800-996-2848. We look forward to your calls. And with us today is Dr. Shiloh Tippett. And Dr. Tippett, when we were thinking about just kind of taking control once again, when do we know to do that? Sometimes we don't know when we should be setting limits. We don't know how to say no, especially in our Native communities with a lot of our cultural norms where, we're supposed to always keep going and always keep giving. Any thoughts about balancing things, putting this in an Indigenous context?
Yeah, I think that with our very busy lifestyles, even though the pandemic has changed things, people still are pretty busy. We forget or we stop listening to our bodies. And that is the key, is to listen to your body. You know, when we are tired, we try to fuel up with energy drinks or coffee. When we're stressed, we try to unwind with chamomile tea or alcohol. But what we've gone away from, probably, I would say, is really tuning in and listening to what our bodies are saying. And in our closer, tight-knit communities, we also are to be there for each other, where we can look over at our friend and our cousin or our aunt, and we can say, hey, you seem really stressed right now. Are you doing okay? Those are things that I feel like we've moved away from. And that balance you mention is often non-existent in our families and in our kids' lives and all that. So I'd say we do need to slow down, get more balance, meaning all the areas of our life that is important to us need to be in balance. And we really need to listen to ourselves, to our bodies.
Mm-hmm. And on the line with us today is clinical psychologist, Dr. Shiloh Tippett. And she joins us today from Madras, Oregon. She is at the St. Charles Healthcare System. If you'd like to talk with her, give us a ring. She comes to us from the Wasco and Tlingit Nation. The number to join us is 1-800-996-2848. And Dr. Tippett, we can't end this hour without spending a moment just talking about the importance of sleep and stress management. Anything you want to say?
One of the best ways to manage your stress, in fact, I think it might be the best way to manage your stress, is to get enough sleep and get quality sleep. It's a symptom in our society. So we can look around. You ask, most people are going to say they have a sleep problem. They don't sleep enough. They can't sleep solidly throughout the night. We want, the best case scenario is a huge chunk of sleep that's uninterrupted, and most people are not getting that. The other side of that is the best way to manage our stress, is to get enough sleep. It's a way that our body can reset from all the things we put it through. We think about everything we put our bodies through. So we sit most of the day. A lot of people sit. That's stressful to your body. We're not made to just sit all the time. Some careers are extremely stressful. Think of like law enforcement right now, the medical community, so many things that careers that people choose are stressful. But then when we look at, hey, what are you doing to manage your stress? There's not a lot. And sleep is one of the best ways to do that. Stress also makes us sleep pretty poorly. And so I encourage people to get into a very good routine of calming down their nervous system so that they can sleep well, because it's essential to managing your health. And so, like the breathing exercise we just did, sometimes people will say, oh, yeah, I tried that. I did it, just like you said, 3 minutes a day for like every other day. Didn't help me at all. Well, that's because when you're like dealing with an enormous biological response in your body, including stress hormones that are extremely powerful, you can't just breathe for 3 minutes a day every other day and expect it to work. And so when you think about how am I going to reduce my stress, we know sleep's one of the best things you can do. You have to do a lot of things to improve your nighttime sleep.
And what about that 3 a.m. wake up, or you get down and you're only down for a couple of hours and you get up and you start thinking of everything? What is your advice to get through moments like that?
One thing to think about is that you're cultivating habits 24 hours a day. So if you spend your day dreading, worrying, stressing, kind of sticking your nose in other people's business, stirring the pot, totally staying in a higher stressful state, then that 3 a.m. wake-up call, when you wake up and you're like, great, I'm not going back to sleep, your mind is going to do the same thing it does 24 hours a day. So it's going to do the same thing it does during the day. So if all day you're worrying or you're watching news that's making you incredibly anxious or you're dealing with stress at your job and you're not doing anything to take that off, then when you wake up in the middle of the night, that's exactly what you've taught your brain to do. So cultivating a calmer state of mind and taking care of the stress hormones during the day will certainly help you in the middle of the night instead of it just going to do what it always does when it's awake. You're going to teach your brain that it's going to calm down and that will help you sleep. Also, if you start to cultivate great habits of managing stress, like breathing, there's so many different types of breathing, managing your thought process. So instead of saying, oh, great, I'm awake again, I'm not going to fall asleep, you talk to yourself differently, then you are definitely going to improve the chances that your sleep will be better when you wake up in the middle of the night. So does that make sense that you want to, whatever you do during the day, that's exactly what your mind's going to do at night?
Very interesting. What do you think about after hearing that? Give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Let's hear what Native America is thinking. We're going to say hi to Michael, who's in Jemez Pueblo, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Michael, thanks for reaching out. You're on air.
All right. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I just went through a full regimen of physical therapy because of a pinched nerve in between my shoulder blades. I barely got an MRI to find out what's really causing it. But in the meantime, I went through a full regimen, and they taught me a breathing technique where I lay on my back, and then I raise my knees up, and then I put both hands on my abdomen, my lower abdomen with 20 counts, and then a side of my rib cage with 20 counts, and then one hand on my just below the, like the wishbone in your rib cage for 20 counts, and that really helps a lot. And they also recommended walking every day, but upping the mileage so often. So you know that helps with the sleeping and also when you're walking, I think of hunting and fishing and different thoughts that I've had. Of doing things that I, you know, even gardening and whatnot of the past and even my childhood. There's all, it just comes and it's a really soothing mechanism to detox you. And another thing is, you know, before COVID, you know, everywhere was showing CNN on their screens, like in the airport, bus depots and whatnot. And if you can get away from watching 24/7 news or that much, because a lot of it is pretty negative and it keeps you in that tense, depressive state.
Well, Michael, thanks for calling in, and I'm glad you are teaching us a thing or two, as you always do. Wishing you well there in Jemez, and you know, just sending good thoughts to you and your community. If you want to join us, call right now. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Also here with us on the line today, joining us from the Blackfeet Nation in Bab, Montana, is Maria Gladstone. She's the founder of Indigi Kitchen, and she is Cherokee and Blackfeet. Maria, thank you for joining us here today on Native America Calling.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you here. And Maria, what stresses you out, and what do you do about it?
Well, I'm working on completing my master's degree and running a business full-time from a rural corner of the Blackfeet Nation and balancing those two things along with all the other day-to-day tasks can definitely be stressful.
And your way to relieve it?
Well, with a lot of stress, I've found a lot of different ways to try to manage it. You know, it depends on the time that I have. Sometimes if I need something that just helps me calm my mind quickly, I'll just practice sitting in place and, you know, placing both feet on the floor. I'll squeeze my shoulders up close to my ears and then relax it. For some reason, it feels easier to release all that tension out of your body if you tighten everything up first, and then you can relax and exhale. But I think there's a lot of other things that I've learned to do. Like Michael was saying, just being able to go for a walk to get outside has really helped me. I think not just because that's physical activity, but also because I think it helps ground me. It creates a sense of place. For me, I also make a practice of gathering our traditional plants, whether for foods or medicine, and that creates, I think, a real sense of purpose and being on the land, and helps just relax me, just breathing in the air, being outside and having that sense of place is something that brings a lot of de-stress to my life.
And I also understand what happens in the kitchen also helps with some of this. Tell me about that.
Yeah, my work with IndigiKitchen is all about revitalizing traditional Indigenous foods. And a lot of our Indigenous foods are great for our physical bodies. But I think they also help in promoting a sense of mental well-being as well. We know that avoiding processed foods, avoiding processed sugars really helps our body. It helps relieve some of that emotional anxiety, but also that process of preparation, whether it's by yourself or with family, is really helpful as well. So the more that I can eat our Indigenous foods, the more that I can connect with that resilience of my ancestors, recognize this inherent ancestral wisdom, and connect with it. But I'm also known for stress baking as well, and looking up elaborate recipes and trying to recreate them and really get involved in a process that doesn't bring me stress at the moment, but is a way of doing something I need to do. I need to cook to eat, but also, you know, being able to do something that is creative, that's getting some creative juices flowing, and just having me be grounded in that sense of well-being too.
And Mariah, is there a certain dish that you think really helps with stress management, either it being involved or maybe there's lots of aromas going on? Are there any things that are kind of go-tos, or if somebody say, okay, where do I start? I get it, but what do I make?
Well, I happen to run a cooking show that releases a lot of video recipes, so I will shamelessly pitch that if anyone's looking to get started in preparing Indigenous recipes. You can check out my website at indigikitchen.com. And you'll find a lot of recipes that are made for folks to be able to cook in their home kitchens, using things that they can buy at the store or that they're growing in their gardens. I like translating some of my favorite comfort foods to use only Indigenous ingredients. And so one of my favorite things to prepare is a lasagna using butternut squash and bison burger. So I'll make a meat sauce because we know that bison and tomatoes are both Indigenous foods, as well as butternut squash. So instead of using the egg noodles that are in lasagna noodles, or that are lasagna noodles, I'll use butternut squash instead. And so I have a really delicious recipe that is very, very simple to make, but has this comfort food warmth and is wonderful and delicious, could be made with the family, but also is a nutritionally whole meal. You know, you're able to feed yourself vegetables without knowing it, and recognize all of these wonderful foods that our ancestors have been cultivating or harvesting for generations.
And Maria, are there any particular foods that in our teachings or teachings that you've heard of from other Indigenous people that kind of help with coping with different things or fighting depression? You know, are there certain things? And a lot of times just mainstream too, we hear citrus as a way to kind of give you a refresh. Do you know of any type of foods, or if maybe you know of something and you want to share some thoughts, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. go ahead and give us a ring. Mariah, anything to add?
Yeah, I think that a lot of our teas that were made are really great for coping with stress, not just for their medicinal qualities, but also because they vary so much depending on where you're located on Turtle Island. There are plants all around us that can bring comfort. And so for folks that know of traditional tea plants in their area, I encourage you to learn more about them, to perhaps gather your own teas. That process in itself can be very helpful in relieving stress. For me, I love having a warm cup of cedar tea or pine needle tea, especially in the wintertime, because it brings a lot of comfort and warmth. It has really similar citrus notes, like in pine needles or spruce tips. But those ingredients also, you know, any type of conifer tea will have really high levels of vitamin C in it. And so that can help be an immunity booster as well, especially in seasons where our ancestors didn't get a lot of fresh foods with vitamin C in them. We relied on drinking these fresh teas. So I think that that's something that's really comforting. Again, it doesn't take a lot of time to prepare yourself a cup of tea, but again, it has that really great sense of grounding in your landscape, in rooting yourself, in creating a sense of belonging, a sense of purpose. And I think that that can be really comforting for a lot of folks.
Indeed. And what are your thoughts? Go ahead and dial in De-Stress with us today. Call in 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And if all of this is new to you and you're looking forward to trying some of it out, thinking in a different way, you can tell us about it too. Give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And again, back to our traditional teachings. What are we taught to deal with all of this? Share 1-800-99-NATIVE.
If you're a Native American entrepreneur looking to expand or start up a business, you should know about the Indian Loan Guarantee and Insurance Program, a federal program encouraging private lenders to make the business loan you need. The Indian Loan Guarantee and Insurance Program supports your lender so your lender can support you. Information available by emailing dci@bia.gov. That's dci@bia.gov. The Office of Indian Energy and Economic Development supports this program.
Thanks for joining us today here on Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, and if you would like to share some thoughts, tell us how you deal with stress, the number to get you into the conversation is 1-800-996-2848. Phone lines are open right now. With us on the line out of Montana is Mariah Gladstone, and she is the founder of Indigi Kitchen. She's Cherokee and Blackfeet. Also on the line, too, out of Madras, Oregon, is Dr. Shiloh Tippett, who is a clinical psychologist at St. Charles Healthcare System. She is Wesco and Clinkett. Our pleasure to have both of them here with us. And you know what? Let's go ahead and take a call. We're going to say hi to Gilbert, who is in Farmington, New Mexico, tuned in on KSUT. Thank you for giving us a ring, Gilbert. You're on air.
Thank you, and hello to Native America. I was just curious. I was listening, and I have access to ponderosa pine. Is that what the lady's talking about pine needles? So fresh off the tree, or you crush them, or just pick them up? You know, and I'm just curious. I'm just curious about that. There are a lot of pine trees around.
All right.
So,
we'll turn back to Mariah. Go ahead, Mariah. Anything for Gilbert?
Yeah, I think you could make pine needle tea out of almost all types of pines. So ponderosa pines are wonderful. And by harvesting the needles, I would just harvest the ends of your needles. So find some nice fresh green ones and then harvest the needles at the ends of the branches, as opposed to harvesting a big long branch and taking all of them. Those ones are going to be the freshest. And then I would make sure that you're not harvesting from nearby a roadway, where you're going to get a lot of exhaust fumes that accumulate on your needles, but rather try to get away from the road a little bit and rinse things off and then put them in a pot of water and simmer that for about 30 minutes or so. And then I like adding just a little bit of maple syrup or honey to that as well. And it's a great source of vitamin C, and I think it's wonderful and comforting.
All right. Well, Gilbert, thanks for reaching out. You can join us too. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And of course, if you do have access to people who have cultural understandings in your own community, it's always good too to just kind of have these kind of discussions too. You know, anytime we use our medicinal plants or medicines, you know, getting that in the mix too is always so good. And, you know, of course, since we're talking about health, we always advise you to check with your own healthcare professionals when you are adding new routines into your regimen. And so much to be discovered. And sometimes checking in those ways lead to really good understanding and good conversations that do different things for you as well. And Dr. Tippett, any thoughts too, when we think of the things we do, things we've been passed down in our own communities of how to deal with this, even turning to medicinal things in our Native nations, any other thoughts to add?
Yeah, I also wanted to add that I looked at the website, that IndigiKitchen looks amazing. Increasing fiber into your diet at least 25 can actually mitigate the effects of stress on your body. So it does some good things for your gut health. So I would say also increasing fiber, and that can be our traditional foods or apples, like anything that has a lot of fiber would be very helpful. One thing that someone texted me from my community in Warm Springs while we've been talking is the importance of our traditional practices like going to the longhouse and drumming, prayer, dancing, our powwows, like those things that unfortunately this year were greatly impacted by the pandemic. Those are things that not only are they our culture and our tradition, they are amazing stress relievers. Like they are so good for us to remember our meaning and our contribution to our communities, beckons back to the people who taught us those practices and our ancestors. And so I would just add, those are very important things that right now, because of the pandemic, we haven't been able to engage in, but hopefully that's coming soon. I would add, because our lives have been so changed, our cultural lives, from COVID-19, that with the absence of the things that we normally rely on to bring us joy and to reduce stress in our lives, I would want people, I'd encourage people to add a lot more things in their life right now that reduce stress, because there's so much of what we just naturally have in our culture isn't available to us right now.
And what about getting active, moving around, exercise? Anything you want to add to that, Dr. Tippett?
Walking, for people who can get out and walk, that is absolutely one of the best forms of exercise for dealing with stress. Not only does it help to kind of work the toxic stress hormones through our body, because we're not made to have them for days on end. Stress hormones are only supposed to be there for a little bit to help us get out of a stressful situation, but we find so many people have constant stream of stress hormones. So walking is one of the best ways to not only deal with your physiological response to stress, but it also helps us to think about problems in a better way. So there's a therapy I've talked about on this show before called EMDR. The whole kind of like how that therapy functions is through bilateral stimulation to get us to more adaptive cognitive functioning. And walking is bilateral stimulation. So if you can go one foot, then the next, that is extremely good for our thought process. Some people can't get out and walk, so I'd say find other things that you can do, like maybe stretching or swimming if people can have access to that, or even just some meditation and your own bilateral stimulation if you can't. And let's say that some people are kind of homebound or in a wheelchair, they can't walk as well, then you can do your own kind of bilateral stimulation in your home. But I'd say walking is the best. The more stress you have, the more biological stress you have because of things going on in your life, the more you have to do to combat this stress. So the same, you know, you can't do breathing when, you know, your house is on fire, figuratively speaking. You have to do a lot more when you have more stress in your life. So walking, eating well, increasing healthy things in your diet, connecting more with family, breathing, meditation, like you have to do more when there's more stress in your life.
And Dr. Tippett, when we think of the type of stress that's in our lives, and there's studies, there's reports, there's, you know, conversations that when we talk about what our Native communities have been through, and just even taking into consideration historical trauma, does stress, in your opinion, affect Native communities different than other populations? Go ahead.
Well, if we look at it as a biological response, right, that everyone, when you, let's say for communities who are in a lot of crises, like war-torn countries where there's so much crises, the more situations that are stressful in your life that create stress in your body, the lower our capacity to cope. And so if we look at some Native communities, there are certainly more stressors. So we have water crisis, poverty, trauma has been found to be increased in those communities that have economic and kind of social economic stressors. So in that sense, we have a lower capacity sometimes to deal with stress. That does not take our power away, though. The important thing to hear from that is that we have the power and the control to increase our capacity to deal with stress. But certainly in many Native communities, there are a lot more stressors that we're faced with.
And so we are in different times, and for a lot of people, the work environment has totally flip-flopped, and that has created different type of stressors. Work sometimes is really stressful too. Anything to share about how we make our work situations less stressful, even learning another technology to get on a meeting or meet up with people to discuss issues? Anything you want to share? Dr. Tippett?
I want people to start remembering or keep it in the forefront of your mind, even just today, that being in a chronic state of biological stress is not normal. It's not how we're made to be. We are not made to always be stressed out. And so if you find, like, man, you have like high blood pressure, or your diabetes is worse because your blood sugar is higher because of stress, or, you know, you're having all these signs of stress, look in your life and see what needs to change, because it's not normal. And we know the outcome of chronic stress is not a good one. So it's not, it doesn't end well. And so work environment, I always like to think, is it worth it? Like, is my career and the work I'm doing going to be worth me maybe being having some obesity or insomnia or heart disease? The answer is no, it's not worth it, especially if we go back to our cultural practices and upbringing. What is important are things like family, our values, our traditions, our foods, the earth. Those are values that drive us. And so if you're in an environment that's toxic to you and you find yourself stressed more than not, I would take a long, hard look at that and see what you can do to change that situation in that environment, because it's not worth it.
And I know a lot of the different things we've discussed today are kind of, you know, talking about what we're doing in our daily lives. And a population that we cannot forget are our youth, our children, and the way they process stress. And anything you want to open up, Dr. Tippett, when it...
You cut out there a little bit on my end, but are you asking about stress in kids?
Yes, our young people and their stress management, things we should be thinking about, helping them with, reminding them, or just giving them their space to de-stress.
A lot of times kids will be in a really unhealthy environment or going through a situation and they are also having a stress response, but they are almost, you know, 9 times out of 10, kids are extremely resilient. And that doesn't mean, oh, they can handle a lot of stress. What that means is that in times of very difficult times, kids adapt better than us. It doesn't mean that they can handle more stress. They shouldn't have to handle more stress. But you'll see a kid who's in a really tough situation. They're clearly stressed. And I say clearly because you can see in their behaviors that they're stressed. But they also can laugh with their friends, or they'll have a sleepover and they have a great time, whereas we're not as adaptable as we get older. We can't. We're just kind of stuck in the chronic stress. So I'd say don't underestimate the impact of stress on a child, because what happens is 5 or 10 years down the road, we see the unhealthy fruits of that environment come out in their life. And so look for things in kids that are similar with adults, but maybe they lose their sense of humor. They're more grumpy. They're irritable. They're not as flexible and enjoyable maybe as they used to be. They used to laugh easily and now they don't. Or they start gaining weight or losing weight. They're not eating as much. Their sleep is bad. They're having nightmares. Those are signs that kids are under stress. They're no different than us in that they still have a biological response. They are just still able to adapt differently. And so for kids who are stressed, which are, you know, plenty right now because their life has changed a lot as well, I encourage the same thing. Like, don't pull away from your friends. Still reach out to your friends, even if it can only be by phone right now. Find your hobbies that used to interest you and try to get back involved with them. Make sure you're getting a lot of exercise and playing or running, basketball, any of those things. And very importantly, try to seek out a really healthy person, either an older kid or an adult, that can kind of walk you through this and talk to you about the problems you're facing. So that would be my encouragement for kids.
Thank you, Dr. Tippett. And as we get ready to wrap up the hour, just anything more you want to leave folks with, ways to manage stress?
So we cannot avoid stress in our life. At this point, the way our world is, you can't avoid it. And so start to manage it. So we know the more stress you're under, so if you have 5 big stressors coming up, you have to do 10 things to combat that stress. So start thinking like that this is for your well-being, it's for your kids because you want to be healthy for them. Like there's a lot, if you invest in yourself, the impact is great. One thing I love, really love, kids and adults can do this. There are YouTube videos that are called ASMR videos. They're extremely relaxing. And so before bed, oftentimes I'll watch an ASMR video or have one of my kids watch one because they're so calming. Music is extremely calming if you get the right kind. So try to get some relaxing music that you kind of fill your environment with. Also, think of that amazing biological response that happens in your body. It is so strong. Adrenaline makes us feel like running 10 miles just out of the blue. And so in order to impact that, you have to completely submerge yourself in calming things. So things that smell good, taste good, feel good, that calm your nervous system, clear out the stress hormones and increase that DHEA vitality hormone. So you want to, like, all hands on deck. When you're stressed, you need to get everything to help you calm. And because we cannot avoid stress, you should be doing things daily to calm your body.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Tippett. I really appreciate everything that you have given to this hour, as well as Mariah Gladstone. YouTube videos on Indigi Kitchen. And that's going to wrap it up for our program today. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow with a conversation or join us in a conversation about the Cherokee syllabary. Maybe that is your nation and you have called on this great tool. to understand and get closer with your ancestors. We'll want to hear about that tomorrow. The Cherokee Nation is celebrating 200 years of their written language. We'll hear all about it tomorrow on our program. Thanks again for tuning in here today on Native America Calling. And if you haven't already, don't forget to sign up for our newsletter on our website, NativeAmericaCalling.com. I'm Tara Gatewood. We'll meet you here tomorrow.
Support by Utah Dene Bekea, working to fully restore Bears Ears National Monument by asking the Biden administration to fulfill the original vision of protection for 1.9 million acres with meaningful co-management by tribes. It's time we respect ancestral lands and our collective American heritage by listening to and learning from tribes on stewardships of these cultural landscapes. Info on supporting this effort at utahdene.org. That's UTAHDINE.org.
Cachet! Be your own sweetheart this year. Make sure your heart is healthy enough to hold all your love. Contact your local Indian healthcare provider for more information. Visit healthcare.gov or call 1-800-318-2596. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Ella Kwan.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.